Thank all of you for giving me the opportunity to be here to share God's Word with you. And we are going to look at the Bible. I think that's a good place for all of us to start. I am actually a low-tech man in a high-tech world, so bear with me. We're going to do something that they've been doing ever since the Bible was printed, use the Bible. So the title of the lesson is Choose Ye This Day. And I am thankful that each and every one of you that are here chose to be here, because it was a choice. You're not here because somebody forced you to be here. You are here because you chose to be here. Now, choices have been made since the beginning of time. Clear back in the Garden of Eden, there were choices to be made. Certainly, we know what those choices were. We know what the results of those choices were. The text of our lesson in Joshua 24 tells us that there was a choice to be made there. Joshua said, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And we want to consider what that truly means. We can offer lip service to God. We can tell Him that we love Him. But until we put it into action, until we actually do something to demonstrate that, it's just so many words. Elijah, when he was on Mount Carmel, asked the people to make a decision between Baal and God. Let's take a look at that in 1 Kings chapter 18. If you'd open your Bibles there to 1 Kings chapter 18, we'll take a look in verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, follow him." But the people did not answer him a word. King David told his son Solomon to choose to serve God in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 at verse 9. You can read about that if you choose. What good advice from parents to children. You know, sometimes when we're out in the world, we almost forget that we belong to God. We start acting more like the world. Now, I don't want you to get the idea that I think there's anything wrong with technology, because it's brought us a long ways, and I can appreciate it. But when we start relying on that to run our daily lives and are unable to do anything else, but, you know, we've got to look at this thing to tell me what to do. Why don't we look at the Bible and let God tell us what to do? That would be the right choice, see? And so many times we don't understand. Wow, we have got so many choices. We can just do anything we want. We can serve God any way we want. Is that what the Bible says? Is that what Paul the Apostle wrote in the book of Ephesians? Every time we look at God's Word, we see a oneness, a singularity. That's what it is. God has a way planned. Well, it's not within man to plan his own steps. See, God gives us the information that we need. Have you ever tried to make a decision without having all the information that you need to make that decision? You know? Now, I'm not going to pick on anybody necessarily, but, you know, the Fiat Motor Company, maybe they make a good car. I don't know. A few years ago, they weren't so good. And if you didn't have all the information, you might think that's, you know, a wonderful automobile. Well, you know, you might need a little more information. And that's how we progress, by having more information. We don't start out with all the information. In fact, we understand that we don't have the knowledge when we are first born. In fact, if you turn to Deuteronomy, let's take a look in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 39, "Moreover, your little ones, who you said would become a prey, and your sons, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it." No knowledge of good and evil. Now, the Hebrew writer tells us that we need to study, that we need to understand. That's how we grow. Let's see what the Hebrew writer has to say about that. In Hebrews chapter 5, beginning there in verse 12. "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." Practice. Have you ever considered studying God's Word as a practice? See, that's what it is. We are growing. We are understanding. We are gaining knowledge. We are serving God better each and every day of our lives. And we make that choice. What if we said, just not interested? We could do that, couldn't we? I'm not interested. But you know what? You've made a choice, haven't you? See? What if you don't say anything at all? Did you know you made a choice by not doing anything at all? You've chose not to serve God. You have to make sure that you know the information. You need that information. God said, it's here. Have you ever noticed how many times in Paul's writing, he said, "I would not have you unaware, brethren"? See, what does that mean? Well, he means that he wants you to have the knowledge. He wants you to have the information that you need to make an intelligent decision. You cannot do it unless you have all the information that you need on that subject. And so many times, you know, I appreciate Bill's class this morning talking about, you know what? I've just had a senior moment. It happens, I guess. The point that I was going to make has seemed to slip away. God knows what it was, so we'll leave it in His hands. But the point being is that we need to know the information. We cannot pretend that we know. I think it's coming back to me. God has a wonderful way of doing that, see. It's the God of the Old Testament, the God of the New Testament, right? Have you ever heard that terminology? People will tell you the God of the Old Testament was different than the God of the New Testament. Huh. Well, when I read in Hebrews chapter 13, let's take a look at that. Hebrews chapter 13. And in verse 8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today, yes, and forever. Has not changed." God dealt with Israel the same way that He deals with us. You say, well, there's some difference. Yeah, okay, I'll give you that. We have a better system, see? What did the law do? It was supposed to convict them of their sins. They were supposed to understand, the Israelites, that they needed a Messiah. They were supposed to understand, wow, I can't do this by myself. God said, well, I'll help. See, I'll take care of it. I'll do it. I'll do it for you. They didn't get that. They were all puffed up. They thought, oh man, we've got the law. See, you know, we're good. See, we're sons of Abraham. We're good. We don't need to make any choice for Jesus. Well, let's see what Jesus had to say in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew chapter 5, many people thought that Jesus' teaching was abolishing the prophets and the law. Verse 17, Matthew chapter 5, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. It was God's plan from the very beginning of time. It did not change. The God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. He is the same, and we can be thankful for that. Can you imagine? You know, you look around in the religious world today, and so many different things are taught, and then they change. Wow. Would that really make you happy? Imagine a secular job that you was working at, and when you started the job, the boss told you, well, you know, I want you to do this, and I want you to be here at this time, and do these things. The next day you come in, and it's all different. He says, no, I don't want you to be here at that time. I want you to be here at this time, and I want you to do these things, and I don't want you to... You just walk away shaking your head. Wow. And yet people in the religious world just seem to think, that's just fine. We can just change it up whenever we want, you know. Really? See, really? God created. He gave us opportunity. God is the authority. In fact, it's on Wednesday nights in Pasco there, we're studying authority. Now, there's some real basic things to authority. And it's just amazing how we seem to forget some of the basics. We need to get back to the basics, don't we? We need to get back to God's Word. We need to get back to the Bible. We need to be walking, talking Bibles. That's what God would like us to be, see? We may be the only Bible that someone reads, see? I think there's a song about that, isn't there? But it's absolutely true. And we are instructed to be doers and not hearers only. James tells us in James chapter 1, not 21 chapters, but James chapter 1, actually verse 22. He says, but prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers who delude themselves. Wow. We sometimes do that. Have you ever deluded yourself? You know, have you ever made the choice to delude yourself? See, you probably don't get up in the morning. You know what I'm going to do today? I'm going to delude myself. I don't imagine that the people that are in prison when they were younger said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a bank robber, you know, and I'm going to be put in prison and then I'm going to be real happy, see? But guess who made the choice? They did. See, they made that choice. They didn't even consciously have to do anything necessarily to make that choice. They just, well, we just got in with a bad crowd. It's really this guy's fault, see? Maybe some of you aren't old enough to remember Flip Wilson, you know, but he always said, the devil made me do it. Well, I choose to do what I do. Everybody chooses. If you want to follow Satan, that's your choice. You really don't have to do anything at all, see? You can just sit back in your lazy boy recliner, whatever, and just veg out, you know? But God wants you to make a choice. Choose God. Choose to serve God. He has your own best interest at heart. Every single thing that God has done, He has done for us. Think about that. See, how selfish are we sometimes? See? Well, me. See, oh boy, I feel good when I'm serving me. See? No, God never looked at it that way. It was always, how can I help these people? We are lost in sin. Repent. Yeah, absolutely. See, we need to do that. We need to have that attitude at all times. I am here to serve God. I want God to use me to the extent that He can. I want to be a good servant for God. Do you know what it says about that? After you've done all that you possibly can, realize we're just humble servants, see? We're just servants of God. And yet, we get so puffed up. I know, I'm talking about myself. So, oh, man, wow, did you see what I accomplished? What I accomplished? Nebuchadnezzar, what are you talking about? See, you remember that story? Nebuchadnezzar walking on his rooftop, he said, whoa, look at Babylon, all that I have done, see? And what happened? Instantly, he became a beast of the field. Now, the good news about Nebuchadnezzar, he came to his senses. I love that. He came to his senses. Time. See, and God gives us time. He is long-suffering and patient to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He gives us the time to make that choice. And yet, sometimes we just ignore it. Well, Paul, on his journeys, was on Mars Hill. In Acts chapter 17, he noticed a whole bunch of things going on there. A lot of gods that they had set up. And in verse 23, it says, for while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with the inscription to an unknown God. What therefore you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands. The point being is that they had some choices, didn't they? And Paul said, wait a minute. There's a lot of choices, but there's one good choice. See, there's one good choice. Choose God and serve Him. Choose the God of the Bible. Like I mentioned earlier, in Ephesians chapter 4, Paul makes allusion to the oneness. There's not a lot of ways to do things. Imagine this. SeaTac Airport has planes going to Florida, probably, right? Say you want to go to Orlando, Florida. You go down to the airport, and you jump on a plane that's headed to Anchorage, Alaska. You go, wow, this isn't where I want to be, see? And so many people just kind of go through life like that. They think, well, I can just do whatever I want, and then everything is going to be okay. No, you have to make the decision. You have to decide. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 5, that there is, how many? One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, is over all and through all and in all. One. See, not just any old way that I please. Frank Sinatra, maybe some people are too young to know who he was, but he said, I did it my way. I bet you if you asked him today, he would have a little different point of view, huh? Maybe I should have done it God's way, right? See? And so we need to choose. We need to make that physical decision. We need to choose God and serve Him. We need to choose the good part. We get so caught up in worldly things today. We get so caught up in doing things that are not really important. Well, they are to us. See, that's the whole, oh man, this is, I got to get this done. I just have to do this. Well, let's take a look. In Luke chapter 10, there's a story there. In Luke chapter 10, beginning in verse 38. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered a certain village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him to her home. And she had a sister called Mary, who moreover was listening to the Lord's word, seated at his feet. But Martha was distracted with all her preparation. She came up to him, said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things, but only a few things are necessary. Really, only one, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She made the right choice. How many Marthas are there? See? How many? I mean, we have to do this, we have to run here, we have to run there, we don't seem to be able to slow down and take a stock of our lives and say, hey, wait a minute. Is it really that important? If you came over to my house, you'd see it wasn't. We moved in there 17 years ago. Never been painted. Never recarpeted. It's still 17-year-old stuff in there. See, I mean, it's still that way. And you know what? If I live another 17 years, it may or it may not get done. But that's not the important thing, see? That is not the important thing. When I have opportunity to help someone come to the knowledge of the truth or paint the house, I don't like painting the house anyway. See? I choose to serve God. That's a choice, see? We have to choose to do that. And when we choose to do that, you know, the blessings just come. I appreciated Mike's prayer, you know, that we are so truly blessed that we can't even see it sometimes, you know. We stumble over the blessings and we think, wow, you know, I prayed for this or that and I didn't get it. Oh, really? Have you really paid attention? Have you really taken the time to smell the roses, so to speak? Have you really seen what God has done in your life? You know, if you are older, you're going to look back and you're going to, you know, God did this and that. Wow, amazing. We have an awesome God and we don't even appreciate Him all the time. That is so sad, see? There shouldn't be enough time in the day to praise God. There isn't enough time in the day. That's the point, see? We don't always think of it that way, though. Woe is me. Ever gotten into that slump? Woe is me. Oh, man. You know, just... Stop. Stop. Talk to God. When is it the most difficult time to talk to God? When you're facing the most difficult situation. You know, maybe I have done something and I just feel so guilty. And I need to talk to God, but I'm not doing it. You know what? God already knows what's going on. Why not talk to God? See, we're told that that is important, that you cannot get through your lives without having a relationship with God. So many people today say, oh, I've got a relationship with God. You know how I know? I put a bumper sticker on my car. It says, I love God. Therefore, say, I have a relationship with God. People choose to do things that God never asked for. How about the silence of the Bible? Where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, people just go wild. See? It isn't so much what the Bible says that gets people in trouble. It's what it doesn't say that gets them in trouble. They don't understand the law of exclusion. See? When God speaks, duty begins, and that's it. He didn't say, sing and do whatever else you want. He said, sing. See? That's what we do. That's what we do. We follow God's pattern. Now, Paul was also, as he was traveling, ran into an individual by the name of Sergius Paulus. Let's take a look at that in Acts chapter 13. At verse 7, it says, who was with, and this is talking about the false prophet that was there, says, who was with the proconsul Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence? This man summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. What a wonderful thing, you know. He wanted to get some information. He was going to make a decision, and he needed the information. And so he asked Paul, our Saul, to come. But Elymas, that is the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Is that, you know, have we ever dealt with those things? You know, people, you don't want to hear that. They're just Bible thumpers, right? See? Jesus freaks. I haven't heard that in years, but you know, that's exactly what people start thinking. Boy, these people are just goody two-shoes. See, they're too good for us. And that's not it at all. They do not understand. And so here we see this Elymas. He was trying to turn the proconsul away, and well, we see what happened to him. He was blinded for a season, wasn't he? See? Blinded. And The proconsul, what does it say? Then, this is verse 12, the proconsul believed when he saw what was happening, being amazed at the teaching of the Lord. See, amazed. Wow. You know, some of us, you know, we've been Christians and we've heard a sermon over and over, and we fail to be amazed at the Word of God. But the Word of God is powerful than any two-edged sword. See, it is more powerful than anybody can possibly imagine. You know the word dynamite? See, what is that? That's nothing to God. Remember when Mount St. Helens went off? What was that, 1980? I watched it go off. Which one of you can do that? Make a mountain explode. Huh? Anybody here? Anybody want to try making a mountain explode? See? And that's just the tip of the iceberg for God. He said, I'm just trying to wake you up. Some people woke up for a while anyway. Hopefully they continued. I don't know. But that's what I'm talking about. See, we're talking about making a choice to serve God and do it His way. And what does God require of you, really? You know, Jesus says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. See, it's rest. It's a peace. When you talk to people and things are going on and they're so excited and they're being Martha, you know, just distracted, and they say, I don't understand how you can be so peaceful when all of this is going around, you know, when all of these things are happening, see? Wow, how can you be calm? Well, because I have a connection with God. I have that peace that passes all understanding. We need to realize where our strength is. See, it's not in the arm of flesh. It's in God. That's where our strength comes from. We need to plug in continually to God's power. We cannot think that some person, human being, is going... You know, I remember back, not getting off on a sidetrack, but getting off on a sidetrack, when I had heart surgery. You know, I went in there and, you know, I felt so peaceful and calm. I could feel the prayers of the saints. I mean, it's just amazing. And I knew that whatever the situation, God was going to take care of it. If I needed to be at home with Him, I would have been at home with Him. If I needed to be here, I would be here. See, God is the one that's in control. Like Bill said, He is. There's no doubt about it. We look around and we think, well, yeah, God used to be in control back in the Old Testament, right? But now, you know, men are... What's going on in Iraq? Whatever it is, God will take care of it. See, we can be assured of that. We look at things through the eyes of the world. And when we do that, we get an askewed view. When we start looking at things through the eyes of God, we realize how wonderful, how marvelous things really are. See, wow, me? You're even concerned about me, Lord? Didn't King David say something to that effect? See, who am I that you should even be concerned about me, Lord? See, and that's the way it is. And yet, we don't always make the right choice, do we? We go through life thinking, well, I'm not really that concerned about God. One day, you will be. We need to serve God rather than pleasure. Moses knew that in Hebrews chapter 11. And in verse 23, it says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure the ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Okay, I want to tell you right now, sin is fun. I don't want that to shock anybody, because it is. If it wasn't fun, nobody would do it. You know, can you imagine Satan showing you all the ugly things? This is what's going to happen. You know, you're gonna shrivel up, and you take these drugs, and it's going to kill you. That, now choose the drugs. That isn't the way. Oh, hey, it makes you feel good. See, it's, come over here, like the spider to the fly, right? See, that's how Satan operates. He walks around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. And we have to recognize, we have to be wise as serpents and as harmless as doves. We need to recognize what's going on so that we can deal with it. Wow. You know, I got blindsided. I was trying to do good, and all of a sudden, boom, here I am in this bad situation. What happened? I wasn't paying attention. I may have made a wrong choice, huh? I may have made a wrong choice. I decided to hang out with Charles Manson. Probably not the best choice I ever made, see, you know? I don't think Charles Manson's a real good person to hang out with. Just, you know, an observance over the course of time. But, you know, people don't always think like that. Up front, if everybody could see the end result of the choices that they made, including myself, probably wouldn't make some of the choices that I make. See, so what we do is we stop, we give it up to God, and God will direct us in the right path, but we have to allow Him to. Oftentimes, we don't let God work in our lives because we don't want Him to, you know. I want you to see this, God. I'm going to do something. And okay, let's see. Jonah tried that, didn't he? Yeah, I'm going to run. I'm going to run over to Tarshish here, and God won't see me. And really? What is that big fish there, Jonah? He changed his mind a little bit. Well, you know, he was still a stubborn character, and I think we all are to a certain extent, you know. Maybe I would like to have that gourd cool me off here a little bit, you know. But we need to understand the choices that we make will certainly determine our destiny. Israel, as Bill was mentioning, had blessings. God promised, you know, all of these things. If you will choose me, if you will do it my way. And it's not a difficult thing to do. And yet so many people, did you know you got paid to sin? What are the wages of sin? What does Paul say in Romans chapter 6? Let's take a look. Romans chapter 6 at verse 23. This Bible is like me. It's getting a little old and doesn't move as well as it used to. In chapter 6, at verse 23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." But listen to this. "The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." What choice are you going to make? See? Wow. It's easy to make a choice when you have it there that simple in black and white. And you know what? It is that simple. Who complicates it? We do. We complicate the Word of God. It isn't complicated. God wants you to know how to be right with Him. Paul, I mentioned it earlier, Paul always said, "I would not have you unaware, brethren. I want you to know, see, how you can have a relationship with God, how you can serve God, how you can be right with God." Oh, yes, we need to hear the Word of God. We need to believe. We need to repent. We need to confess. We need to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of our sins and rise to walk in the newness of life. You know what? Then it's all over. That, you see, I've done it. No, that is the beginning, my friends. That is not the end. See, that is the beginning. That is the first day of the rest of your life. It starts right there. You start a spiritual life. You are a spiritual babe. And yet, so many people think, "Oh, well, I did it, so I'm good. I can go on my way. Don't need to do anything else. I got wet all over. Every bit of me got wet. See? Really? What does Peter say about getting wet all over? Let's see. He has something to say about that. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, he says, and corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh. That's not just, you know, getting wet and cleaning yourself physically, but an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about, having a cutting covenant with our Lord Savior Jesus Christ, right there, see? Not just washing off some old dirt from the flesh, but cleansing the soul. See, that's the power that's in the blood of Christ, the cleansing of the soul. And we need to choose. There's, you know, Matthew chapter 7 talks about the narrow gate and the wide gate. The choices, choices, choices. You can choose the wide or the narrow, the straight, the broad. You can choose to be with the many or the few. You can choose life. You can choose destruction. But who's going to choose destruction? The ones that are going to choose destruction are the ones that aren't going to do anything at all. They're just going to let life fly by. Well, you know, I'm intending to do the right thing. I'll get around to doing the right thing one of these days. Kind of like the guy that built his house on the sand. See? And what happened? When you build your house on sinking sand, you're going to sink. Talking about the religious people of the world, Paul had his heart's desire set on his brethren, the Israelites. Now, listen to what he has to say. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1 says, brethren, my heart's desire in my prayer to God for them is for their salvation. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not in accordance with knowledge. For not knowing about God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not subject themselves to the righteousness of God. Don't we see that a lot of times today? You know, people dress up in big fancy robes. They hang gold chains around their neck with crosses on them. And they, you know, they walk around with fish hats. And they have all these trappings of being a pious individual. And what are they doing? See, what are they? They're not serving God. They're serving self. They want recognition. See, look at me. I'm somebody special. I got the fancy robe, see? Guess what? You guys don't even have to read the Bible anymore. Just get rid of these. I'll let you know what you need to do. See? I don't see anybody getting rid of their Bible. That's a good choice. Don't do that. Follow God, not men. See? Follow God. He's the one that has the answers. Men make a lot of guesses, and it'll get you in trouble. Can guarantee you that. And there's two deaths to die. We can die in sin, or we can die in the Lord. It is our choice. See, again, it is our choice. We don't even realize sometimes that we have choices. We just go through life. I didn't have a choice. I had to. Have you ever heard somebody say that? I didn't have. Really? When have you not had a choice? See, when have you not had a choice to do this or that? See, you always have a choice. I am not forced into serving God. I am choosing to serve God. What a wonderful thing. See? Because if you don't serve God, then you're serving sin. And sin will not get you where you want to be. That is not where you want to be. Where you want to be is with God eternally. Choose this day our path of righteousness and eternal life or everlasting torment in the lake of fire. The Bible places emphasis on now, today, right now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, let's take a look at that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse Verse 1 says, "In working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, at the acceptable time, I listened to you, and on the day of your salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. It is your choice. It is your choice to choose wisely. It is your choice to have the right information so that you can make the right choice. You know, going back to Proverbs, we're not going to turn there right now, but in Proverbs 27, at verse 1, it says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And it is so amazing. James says the same thing. Let's take a look at what James has to say. James 4, verse 14, "Yet you do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, 'If the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that.' But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Therefore, to the one who knows the right thing to do and does it not, to him it is sin." Do you know what the right thing to do is? The right thing to do today is to serve God. That's the right thing to do. If you're here for any other reason than that, then you're not here for the right reason. You need to be here to serve God, to do His will. Decide right now, if you're not, to become a child of God. It was the best thing it will ever be. There's nothing else in the entire imagination of man that could be better than being a child of God. He's going to take care of you. Wow, think about that, see? You know, do you know why children don't like to leave home? Because they know they got it made in the shade, you know? Their parents are taking care of them, aren't they? See, they are taking good care. They're going to feed them. They're going to give them a place to live. You know, they're going to give them a little gas money, whatever the case may be. What do you mean, get me out there into the work job? I don't want to do that, see? How about us? You know? We have someone that comforts us. We have someone that gives us everything. It is the God of the Bible that we read about. He's taking care of us. He loves us. He has mercy on us. Why wouldn't we want to save Him? Make the right choice, won't you, as we stand and sing.